Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the epistle 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. And he writes to his church, "But even if you should suffer for what is right, you're blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander." Have you ever had a first world problem? Do you know what first world problems are? They are, I'll give some examples, and they're almost always said with a whine in the voice. "My chocolate chip cookie won't fit far enough down in the glass for me to dunk it into the milk." That's a first world problem. "My iPad battery is about to run out, but I left the charger in the other room." That's a first world problem. "I poured the cereal into the bowl this morning before I checked if any milk left." We didn't. It's not just today's, a generation ago, "I wanted to change the channel, but I couldn't find the remote." That's a first world problem. Life is tough in the first world. But the truth is, first world problems are no problems at all, really. And most of us don't want for much that we really need. Well, there are some things that we do need, even just to survive. Things like air and water and food and shelter from the elements. And then beyond those, there are other core needs that science agrees upon, at least the social sciences, the soft sciences, they call them. We have this deep core need for love, to receive love, to give love. Some of our great philosophers confirmed our need for love. Here are some of the great thoughts of the great minds. "Love is a many splendored thing," Frank Sinatra. "What the world needs now is love, sweet love," Dionne Warwick. "Love, love me do," the Beatles. And the great thinker, "I love you, you love me, we're one great big family," Barney the dinosaur. But love is so important, we have rituals for our loving. A little four-year-old boy named Billy had a ritual with his mom every night as they would go to bed. As he would go to bed, she'd tuck him in, and tuck him in. He'd jump onto the bed, and she'd sit beside him, and he'd say, "Mommy, I love you." And she'd say, "How much do you love me?" "I love you a lot." "You love me this much?" "Oh, I love you a lot more than that." "Love me this much?" "More than that, Mommy." "Do you love me this much?" "More than that? Well, how much do you love me?" And he'd go, "I love you this much." And she'd grab hold of him, and they'd tickle together and fall on the bed and just laugh. We have this need for love, to receive it, to give it, to know that we're loved. We sometimes throw that word around so much, though, that it loses its impact. You know, "I love that new dress. I love ice cream." We call it puppy love. Some of us have love handles. Some of us have several love handles. I say, looking into the mirror. And as we use that word so freely, it loses its impact. But love has great power in our lives. Behavioral scientists have done experiments with little animals, infant humans too. But in times when they are deprived of loving and loving connection, touches, how it impacts their development psychologically, and sometimes even physically. We have a need for the love of a parent, the need for love of a partner. And you and I have both known those needs or have offered those needs to be met in the lives of others. And until we find this kind of love that connects, this kind of love that identifies and affirms and says, I do exist and I do matter. Until we find that kind of love, we live in a world of need. Today, as we continue our series, Let's Take a Walk, I want us to explore that great, deep human need for love and God's plan to meet that need in our lives. On our own, we seek to satisfy our need for love in various ways. And if we can't find it in primary relationships, we look for it elsewhere, even in objects or actions. We love our pets. We, as Americans, have love affairs with our cars, a very emotional purchase for some people. In fact, there's this current insurance company that has a whole advertising campaign, one of the more annoying ones to me, because they've all become that because it's so often shown, is you love your car. You named it Brad. You know Brad? You've been through everything. And then you totaled him. We love our cars. We love our hobbies or a cause or our work because we need to love. What is the primary hunger that love fills for us? Is that need to belong? Is that need to be recognized, have somebody say, yeah, I do exist? Is that need for acceptance? That's the power of community. Even the allure of gangs on city streets or in prisons, the allure is to have somebody say, hey, you're one of us. Now, there are prices to be paid, and lives are shaped by our communities, but community's power is to say, you belong. We have a need to live outside ourselves for somebody else. Our sermon title this morning, What the World Needs Now, I believe comes as an answer to the question, what does the world? And the answer is in two parts. The first one is the world needs love, God's kind of love. You see, we were created to give and to receive love. We were created with the need to be in relationship, to belong to one another, to an other. The risk, it's seeming pedantic here, I want to say that we were born with a love hunger. That God created us with that innate hunger that can only be filled as we're in relationship. Love relationships are only fulfilling when they echo that God kind of love. When we see things in the loving relationship that speak about sacrifice, willingness to give myself away and up, give myself up for another. We see deep, genuine kindness. And in our loving relationships, we have the privilege of giving ourselves away to the special other in our lives. Knowing our need for love, God has loved us and given us everything necessary to open the door to restore our relationship with Him, that we can have that hunger filled. More than that, He gave everything that He had in that effort, giving up His only Son. Why? Because He loves us. John 3:16, so many of us learned when we were little. If not, we should learn it now. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Whoever believes in Him should not perish in loneliness, separation, apart. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves us. God fills our need for that love hunger. And our need for love calls us to look forward and outward to find that one, someone, a one, to invite them into the center of our universe. Before we can respond to God's love, we have to be convinced, be certain that that kind of love is ours. A little girl named Sarah, 8 years old, lived in an orphanage in the heart of New York City, long-standing institution. It was kind of an oasis in the midst of the teeming life of the city. There was the building complex, there was the playground area, and it was all surrounded by a stone wall. Well, Sarah, now 8 years old, had known the pain of being all dressed up and primped and preened to stand in that receiving line as prospective adoptive parents would come and go. And she knew the pain of being passed over again and again and again. At the ripe old age of 8, it was very unlikely that she would ever find somebody who would love her and take her home. One day during the recess time playing outside on the playground, Sarah separated herself from the kids very nonchalantly, and she went over to the wall where there was growing a tree inside the playground. She looked around to make sure nobody was looking, and she scrambled up the tree, the low-hanging branches, and crawled up inside the branches that overspread the sidewalk just outside the wall. And she stretched, pulled something out of her pocket and stretched and put it out as far as she could, as low as she could over the sidewalk. She looked around, scrambled down, so satisfied nobody saw her, she ran back to the kids. But one of the teachers who was on playground duty saw what she'd done. And she reported to the director, which was she was supposed to do, and the director left her office, came down out of the main doors, down the front walk, through the front gate, and up the sidewalk to the tree. Looked and saw what Sarah had placed there, and she reached up and pulled it down. It was just a little envelope she stuffed into her own pocket and came back to her office. She opened the envelope and pulled from it a single folded sheet of notepaper on which was written, "To whoever finds this, I love you." Sarah was hungry for love. So hungry that she would offer herself to anyone who would receive her. We know that hunger. We dress it up, we medicate it, we try to deny it if we can't find it, but we're always searching for it. And it may sound odd, but God is hungry too. Hungry to love us. I mean us, you and me, those who sit here in this room. For all the things that we know about us, God's still hungry to love us. He's somehow, if not incomplete, at least dissatisfied without us. You see, God created us in His image to be with Him, and before Adam and Eve developed a taste for apples, He walked with them daily in the garden. And as they disobeyed and turned their backs to Him, since that time, He has tried to find ways to draw us back into relationship with Him. He's missed those walks. He's given even His Son to take upon Himself the responsibility, the guilt of our choices to pull away from God. It'll make us available to be offered to come into His arms. Deep calls to deep. God's deep love for us calls to our deep need to be love. God's amazing and unreasonable gift. His Son completely fills that deep hunger for love that we feel at the core of our lives. And the work of God's love is done in Jesus. It's been done for us. It's been offered to us. It's complete in Christ. But there's more that remains. And that's where we come in. Even though the work is done and through Christ, His sacrifice, God's given us this relationship and offered us His arms in which we can fall. So many of us don't yet know that, understand it, believe it, allow ourselves to trust it. So many haven't heard the news that God loves them and wants them to be part of his family, or they haven't heard it in a way or at a time when they could really be open to it. But for those who have heard, those who have understood, those who have come into his embrace, those who have found the joy of God's deep love, there is work to do. There is an opportunity and a responsibility. That means for you and me, if we know that kind of love. God's work has been done, yes, but because so many don't know it, they're hungry and they need hope. What the world needs now is a two-part answer, I said. What does it need? It needs love, and it needs hope. Before I left the house this morning, and I turned the news on. Great way to prepare for worship, by the way. It's not. In a world where there is a KKK rally and people are attacked and injured and killed, the world needs hope. In a world where Uber taxi drivers shoot and kill six people for no reason at all, if only there were a reason, it doesn't make it any better. The world needs hope. And the list goes on and on and on and on, and the world needs hope. And when I wonder if anybody will own me, accept me, acknowledge me, love me, I need hope. Well, how do they find that hope? Well, the Apostle Peter in today's scripture urged his audience, his church, and I believe us, I believe what's in scripture has the power to shape, design, guide our lives. He urged us to offer them the hope that we have. Not our power to save them. That's never been the issue. It's not a matter of saying, well, how do I go out and save the world? We don't. We just go out and give a testimony of a satisfied customer. You know, thank you for purchasing on our website. Would you be willing to write a review that we can post there? Nines and tens are appreciated. Our job is to simply share what we've experienced and the hope that we have. The hope that we have for life, for living, is that there is someone who loves us, who makes us complete, who hasn't got the same failings and needs that we have, someone who is able to fulfill that. That's God in Jesus Christ. To offer the hope that we have. He said, always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks the reason for the hope you have, and to do it gently and with respect. Our purpose is to offer this hope. But how do we do that? We do it by living our lives with them. We do it by rubbing shoulders. We don't do it, I don't think. There are those, I think, who must have this specific ministry, but most of us don't do it by targeting and saying, I want to come to your home at a certain time, and I want to tell you the story, the gospel story. There are some who can do that and do it well. And if that's how you came to Christ, that's a legitimate way to receive that. But for most of us, it's done by living with people, rubbing shoulders with them, connecting with them, letting them see who we are and who we're becoming in a world that's broken and fractured in all kinds of ways. If they see that we have hope for life and living, they're going to want to know why. They know we have the same issues they deal with. The same mortgages, the same kinds of jobs, the same kinds of pressures with the kids or anything else it may be. And they want to know how we seem to have hope when they know they're wrestling with so many things. And our job is not to be holier than they. It's just to say, let me tell you what's changing in my life. I've found somebody who embraces me. You see, we have this hunger to be loved. Sarah had a hunger to be loved, and she placed that on that branch so many years ago. And 2,000 years ago, God, in his desire to love us, placed a letter in a tree, too. as Christ hung upon the cross. And as Sarah wrote, God said, whoever sees this, I love you. And our call is to simply share what we're experiencing. You know, as I was preparing all week, and this is one of those sermons that has been prepared all week. In fact, this is about the fourth time it's been on paper with changes each time, and there are so many black ink marks that I can't follow my own notes anymore, even on the fourth one. There is a grace that Sunday finally comes because the sermon's finally done because there's no more time to change it anymore. It occurred to me just yesterday morning that while my whole point for this is that we who know Christ and know this certainty offer hope to the world, that it maybe there'll be somebody here. Duh. Maybe there's somebody here who has been listening to that message and trying to risk trusting it, but who hasn't quite ever allowed themselves to fall into the arms of the one who loves. If that's the case, you don't need to raise your hand, but if that's the case, and you're not quite sure that God loves you, you're not quite sure that there's hope for you in that kind of love that changes us, you need to hear this morning that God has done that for, not just for me or for those folks around you who you know their lives are perfect, but yours isn't, but for you. And that God, in his hunger to love us, placed that message out there to anyone who reads this. I love you. And if that message is for you this morning, then take it. And know that it was offered just for you. And as you begin to experience that love which reshapes, reorients, transforms, and just lie back in it, and your life begins to change. When others see it, they're going to ask, what's going on? And you share the reason for your hope. What's the world need now? What do our neighbors need? What the world needs now is hope. Love. What the world needs now is to know the reason for our hope. What the world needs now is God's loving embrace through the Church of Jesus Christ. What the world needs now is Fishers United Methodist Church. What the world needs now is you. Christ in you. You take a step towards somebody you know. Just live your life with authenticity. Let's take a walk. First, into God's arms. To find that embrace. Then into the lives of those who are hungry for love and for hope. Let's take a walk.